Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. Today, I'm so excited to interview Joy McCarthy on how to detox for hormone balance using foods, supplements, herbs, and lifestyle changes that can be incorporated daily. Before we get started, I'll introduce Joy, and then we'll jump right in. So Joy McCarthy is a holistic nutritionist and founder of joyoushealth.com, an award-winning website focused on healthy living. She is a best-selling author of Joyous Health, The Joyous Cookbook, and Joyous Detox, a World Gourmand Cookbook Award recipient. She is also the co-host of her own podcast called The Joyous Health Podcast. It's really great if you haven't checked it out. She runs a business program called the Joyous Health Business Program, so she supports those with holistic practices and has a line of organic herbal teas and natural beauty products, as well as a line of children's natural supplements in partnership with Genuine Health. A trusted nutrition expert, Joy has been featured in hundreds of publications, both online, such as Well and Good, CNN, and CBC, and in print. And she's a regular health expert on TV, including CityLine and CTV's Your Morning. Joy lives in Toronto with her husband, Walker, and their daughter, Vienna. You can follow her on Instagram at joyoushealth.com. And also on Twitter, Pinterest, and Facebook. So Joy, how did you do all those things? And you have what, a 4.5-year-old too?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's about 11 years and counting.
Right.
I started out in 2009 when I graduated from the Institute of Holistic Nutrition. And I just kind of hit the ground running. So it's kind of neat to look back at all of the different things that I've done. And it's kind of funny listening to you read out my bio and like seeing my history, and I'm like, oh my gosh, but I have so much that I still have yet to accomplish.
Well, we'll celebrate all that you've done, because that's amazing. Even one cookbook, let alone, three.
You
have a daughter too. And then I used to see you when I would go to the Total Health Expo, the Whole Life Expo,
amazing,
back in the day when I started out as a naturopath, and you always had such a good presence at your booth, or you would do really great talks. And then since then, I've been following you online, and I love your recipes you share. I love your raw carrot cake balls. My son Stuart does as well. And people will definitely have to check out your recipes from your cookbook and online. And I've also been following your podcast. You and Walker have some great banter, and you cover some great topics too. So I can't wait to jump in. I know people probably want to know a little bit about your detox journey, because there's so many detoxes out there. What have you done? What have you tried? How did that go?
Oh my God. So I'm glad you asked that. I've been my own personal experiment. And I have tried basically everything out there, from the cabbage soup diet to colon cleanses to, just whole body detoxes. And then also I've dabbled in doing a lot of detoxes that have like nothing to do with food, just focusing more on the skin and how you can, better detoxify your biggest organ. But the reason that I got into all this was actually even before I became a nutritionist. When I was working in marketing and advertising, I was known in my office as like, Joy is the health nut. She's the one who eats vegetables. And people would always, I remember people were always so curious what I was eating at lunch. People would always come over and see whatever, I had made, what my leftovers were from last night, or, whatever it was that I was adding to my lunches. So, but the thing was, like, even back then, I was a health nut, but the problem was I was a total sugar addict. And I was so addicted to refined sugar, because it just so happened that, and I talk about this in my second book, Joyous Detox, but I At the time, my client was the company that makes Mars and Snickers and M&Ms. So if you can imagine, I always had free product sitting under my desk. So even though, you know, I was health minded, I feel like I've been a student of nutrition my whole life. I was still, you know, snacking on peanut M&Ms every day. And I just always felt bloated and my energy was just kind of, it was okay. I didn't get sick very often, but I just kind of felt blah. It's kind of the best way to describe it. And it wasn't until, you know, I decided that I would try a 10-day detox. And basically my detox was just like, it was simple. It was just whole foods based. I was like eating really clean. I actually hate that word clean. I shouldn't even use that word. What I mean by that is I cut out food additives. But the biggest thing for me was I cut out sugar. And I never, ever thought I would be able to completely eliminate that from my diet, but I did. I did cold turkey, and that was the best way for me to do that. And, you know, once I had kind of made it through that, you know, first sort of week of doing that, I couldn't believe how much better I felt. Like I was pooping better, my skin looked better, and I just didn't have, you know, I eventually lost that like taste for that like super, you know, sweet M&Ms basically. And then I tried, you know, over the years I did a lot of, I became very interested in detox and using different herbs. But then I started doing things like colon cleanses by using certain herbs. And I don't know that I necessarily recommend that unless you're a practitioner, but I used to do that like every season, like just like clear myself out. I do not do that anymore because the different herbs I was taking, you know, were very, they caused like cramping in my gut and, you know, like senna tea. Like I used to be addicted to those kinds of teas. I used to think that they were cleansing me, but really I don't think they were doing the job that I was kind of intending. So I kind of have a long history with trying a lot of different things. And then what I really found worked was just like eating real whole food and just emphasizing foods that helped my body better perform, better detox.
Amazing. Yes, you've had quite the journey, right? It's hard to believe that you were a sugar addict and, you know, working in that environment. I'm sure, you know, that was a big trigger too, but you did it cold turkey. And that's how a lot of people will like be successful, right? Is just cut it out completely. It's going to feel, you're going to feel crappy, you know, a few days, half a week, maybe a bit longer, but then your taste buds can change, right? And your body just adjusts. Yeah. And as you said, you felt so much better. So, and like you said, yeah, a lot of the cleanses and detox packages out there, they can have those laxatives, right? So people might feel like, oh, I'm going to the bathroom more regularly, or I've lost a few pounds, but it's just basically ripping things out through your body. And then you might have deficiencies too. So that's a really good point to note.
It's
I'm happy you brought that up. It's great that you like to use whole foods too. I remember my first detox was, when I first started the naturopathic college, and it was one of those detox powders that you buy from one of the big supplement companies. And I was eating quinoa and drinking almond milk and having almond butter, all these things that I thought was so weird. And I felt crappy. Like I was sweating and my sweat smelled different. I had a low grade headache. I was pretty toxic, but you know, each time I do one, and I do it a lot with just food now too, you just feel so much better and you don't feel that detox reaction because you have less toxins in your system, right?
Exactly. And that's why I also think like some detoxes are just like too severe, like depending where you're at. Even like someone who, you know, is eating very, very poorly, has a lot of stress, perhaps a lot of toxicity in their life. Maybe they live near a factory. Like, I don't think that is an ideal candidate to do something like a juice fast, because I think you can just end up feeling really, really bad. So I think, you know, for your listeners, just like work with a practitioner like you, Lisa.
You have a great detox program and a cookbook on detox.
But I don't see clients one-on-one anymore.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah, I do have the Joyous Detox online, but I think it's just, you know, if someone listening to this, if your approach is, you know, you want to try different herbs or natural health supplements, and you know, what you really want to do is make it part of your life. You know, make a lifestyle change as opposed to just like, oh, I'm going to do, you know, 10 days. But I realize that, you know, making a lifestyle change can be overwhelming for people. So that's why, like in the Joyous Detox book, it is a 10-day detox, because I think that is very approachable for people. And, you know, each day you feel Well, you know, you may feel really bad the first few days, but for sure, once you get to at least day 10, you're going to start to feel the benefits of, you know, not filling your body with so much crap. And sometimes a detox is more about you putting the good stuff in, taking a break from certain things. But I think a lot of people focus so much on what not to eat, but I like to focus more on what you can eat, and then you just simply have less space for the M&Ms.
Amazing. Yeah, that makes total sense. And we'll get into, you know, what to eat and what to focus on to support detox. But before we do that, could we just touch on, I think you talked about in your podcast on your detox episode, the importance of avoidance, right? That can be a fairly easy step too, right? So can we talk about, like, where are we exposed to toxins? You know, what do they do? What can we do to, you know, reduce our exposure too?
Yeah. So, I mean, first thing in the morning when we wake up is, for many people, is where you are first exposed to a whole variety of chemicals, depending on what you brush your teeth with. You know, if you spray perfume on yourself, if you are putting foundation on that has, you know, antibacterial preservatives that are getting absorbed in your skin, for example, like parabens and formaldehyde releasing ingredients. So I think about maybe 10 years ago, the Environmental Working Group did like a survey, and they released this stat that basically said by the time a woman, you know, has gotten ready in the morning, she's already exposed herself to, you know, 126 potential harmful chemicals. I am always a bit nervous to use the word toxic, because toxic is very scary for a lot of people, and you automatically think, oh, that's like cyanide or like some sort of poison. If it gets on my skin, I'm going to die right away. But the problem is that we're getting micro doses of these toxins, even though they're so small, they're microscopic amounts. We're getting them from many different sources all throughout the day. And from many different sources and continually day after day. So we have all our personal care products. Then we have what we might eat for breakfast. Then we have to consider, you know, the air in our home, because the air in our home can be far more polluted than it is outside. Oftentimes when we think of air pollution, we think of like factories, right? And belching smokestacks, when in fact, what's in our home, you know, potential mold, off-gassing from furniture, air fresheners. These are all different chemicals and potential toxins that we are accumulating in our body. And if we are not eating really well, and we are not sleeping well, and we're not taking care of ourselves, and we're not sweating enough, then our body has many different ways to detoxify, but it can't do it as efficiently when you're not nourishing your body well. So through a 24-hour cycle, you are exposed to, you know, many different chemical toxins all throughout the day. And the biggest concern is for people who are exposed to that, but then don't eat well and don't make sleep a priority and don't sweat and kind of sit all day. That's when I think it is, you know, a much bigger concern.
Totally. And I think some people have the perception that what we put on our skin doesn't really get into our body, right? Like, how is that really going to impact me? Skin's a barrier. But did you want to talk about that a little bit? Like, do we, yeah, you know, totally. How much do we absorb these things?
Yeah. So it really depends. In terms of the absorption rate, it depends on the actual chemical in the product. But just generally speaking, you can assume that anything you put on your skin, a percentage of it is going to be absorbed into your body, because our skin is our largest organ. It is a wonderful form of detoxification. We do absorb what we put on our skin. We can see this just when we put moisturizer on our skin. And you know, I don't want to say danger, but I guess the danger of this is that whatever these chemicals you're absorbing, that's being absorbed directly into your tissues, into your bloodstream. And this is actually a faster route than if you actually ate it. Because if you're eating foods that have, you know, food preservatives and coloring and dyes, at least you have your whole digestive system and your liver, and hopefully your body is able to detoxify most of these chemicals. But, you know, there's things that we put on our body. There's, you know, so many different chemicals that are hormone disruptors, for example. And I know you guys talk a lot about hormones on your podcast, but if you are perimenopausal, or you have PMS, or you're, you know, experience a lot of menopause symptoms, you know, a great thing that you could do to help yourself is like do a beauty detox. Like look at all the products that you put on your body on a daily basis. I think a really good place for women to start, if they feel overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, I got to change my toothpaste and my shampoo, look at the products that spend the most amount of time on your skin. Like toothpaste, you're brushing your teeth and you spit it out. Yes, you are going to for sure ingest some of that. But I think a place to start would be your moisturizer, what you put on your face if you wear blush or you use any facial creams or you wear cream foundation. Look at those things because a lot of cream foundations do have formaldehyde releasing ingredients, and you're putting that on your face. It's on your face all day versus like a face wash. You quickly wash your face, wash it off. So I think if you're kind of looking at, okay, well, what products? I only have this amount of budget. What should I start with first? Start with the things that spend the most amount of time on your body. And then also if you have children, really focus on them first because they're little, right? They weigh a lot less than us. And they could be potentially exposed to just as much chemicals as we are as adults. So that's a really big thing that concerns me. And, you know, I have a daughter, Vienna, who's 4, and, we've actually never, we don't, when she has a bath, we don't like put soap on her body. We like wash her hair. We have like this very natural, it's like a body wash we use in her hair, and then we just let the water go in her body and she washes her dirty bits. We don't like put soap, we don't like scrub her down with like a big, you know, loaf of sponge with like some foaming body wash. Like that, like, oh, that just like makes me cringe to even. So we've never done that with Vienna, because I am like so highly aware of, you know, all these chemicals that are in personal care products. Like it's like a really dirty industry. It's awful.
And it's pretty scary what they do put in there, right? And I always think too, like, yeah, we do absorb things through the skin because look at the nicotine patch or hormone patches or Voltaren, you know, the pain reducer you put on your skin. So it really does get into your system. But I love the tip of, yeah, just looking at what's on your skin the longest to start with and switch that out. And, you know, you can use, I know you've talked about this before too, the Skin Deep database by the Environmental Working Group to look up your products and see how they rate what chemicals I should say are in there. And then you can look up healthier versions. And now even for sunscreens, right? Looking up some healthier versions of those is really important for your little ones and for yourself.
So important this time of year. And the also there's a Think Dirty app. Right. That's really useful. And you can basically, and you mentioned Environmental Working Group Skin Deep. You can basically, it's the greatest thing. You can type in any product. Well, I shouldn't say any because smaller brands, it's not the easiest to get on there. It costs a lot of money. Like our Joyous Health products are not on the Environmental Working
Group. Eventually they will, I'm sure.
But like you can read the ingredients and you basically know what everything is. But yeah, it's great. You can even like, And if the product isn't listed there, what I do, because I definitely use like smaller brands that aren't always listed on there, just like type in the ingredients and see. And those databases will give you a rating of 1 to 10, 1 being don't worry about it, 10 being do not use this. So you can look up all the ingredients in a product that you love. And know that there, and I'm sure you know this, Lisa, the great thing is there are so many natural products that work. Like there's no reason we need to be using, you know, these, and I don't want to like name names, but when you go to Sephora, like half of the store is just like a perfume bomb. And, you know, we don't need to, and of course, I think it is great that big brands like that do have like, they are selling like cleaner, more natural brands too. But the reality is there's so many products that we don't have to use the junky stuff and they're affordable, like way cheaper. I remember when I used to color my hair like 20 years ago and the shampoo I would buy was like $45. Wow. Like I cannot believe I would just spend that and not think twice about it. Whereas like our shampoo that we sell is like a huge bottle. It's $23. It's made with almost all organic ingredients. You can use it on your kids. It's not tear-free. But haven't come up with a tear-free one yet. But I mean, it's just like, why are we not making the switch when A, it's affordable, and B, it is available? To me, it's just like crazy that we haven't. And even for your listeners who live in smaller towns, like, you can buy stuff online, and most people are shopping online right now anyways because of COVID.
Totally. So we'll link to your, I think you have an online store for these products, right? So that people can look at what you have. I think you have some deodorants. Just as a deodorant story, did you ever see that Portlandia episode where they have like the natural deodorant? And I think the tagline was something like, you know, body odor with a hint of lavender.
Oh, that is scent. So funny.
Something along those lines. But they make some really good ones now. And I need to try yours, but I'm sure it works really well too, because you've been in this field for a while and you've tested different, you know, natural deodorants, and I'm sure came up with a good formulation. So we'll have to check that out for sure.
Yeah, totally.
But great tips that you've shared. And these chemicals, right? So they disrupt our hormones, as you talked about. So they can act like xenoestrogens, and in perimenopause, you can have estrogen dominance. But then we also look at, it can affect your fertility. It can affect, you know, brain function, allergic tendencies. How is it affecting your kids' growth and development? So, you know, we're talking about a lot of doom and gloom right now, but we do have control over what we put on our body. So I think those are some great tips on how to get started. And then what about what we put in our mouth? So how can we reduce toxin exposure that way?
Yeah. So, I mean, a simple thing that I do is I do a lot of cooking from scratch. So like most of the things that I recommend people cook with are start with one ingredient foods. Like when you go to the grocery store, you know, using ingredients that don't come in a package. Now, of course, not all packaged foods are bad. So what I would suggest when grocery shopping are just, you know, when you're buying a packaged food, look at what the food is actually made of. How long does it take to expire? You know, does it have preservatives? Does it have food dyes? You know, if you're shopping at a health food store, in most cases, you can avoid all those types of things. But you have to remember that everything that you consume, everything that you eat, you know, has to be detoxified by the liver. And if you're always eating packaged foods with lots of chemicals, this, and you're drinking alcohol and you're drinking coffee, this is putting quite a burden on your liver, because this is your main organ of detoxification. And you need all sorts of accessory nutrients for your phase one and phase two liver detox pathways to work efficiently. So I think it comes back to avoidance as well. Just like when we were talking about natural beauty and personal care, when it comes to grocery shopping, really focus on buying whole foods versus packaged foods as much as possible. If that's something you're already doing, then I would say the next step is just really looking at how much sugar that you're eating, and, you know, cutting back on sugar, or, you know, looking for more natural sugars, because food, we become what we eat. So it's extremely important to be really picky over what you choose to put in your body.
No, I think that's a great tip.
Yeah.
And pesticides. Yeah.
Pesticides. Just like we talked about, there's hormone disrupting chemicals in personal care. Pesticides are xenoestrogens as well, and they attach to your estrogen receptors and mimic estrogen. So, you know, for women who have estrogen dominance, you know, or I, you know, even if you don't have symptoms of hormonal imbalance, I'm a really big fan of choosing organic as often as possible, so you can limit your exposure to pesticides. And there's been many different studies that have shown, for example, that when you just take a break, even a 2-week break from conventionally farmed produce, how that can make a difference in your urine output and how many pesticides you're peeing out. So, and who knows how much you're not peeing out. Toxins being fat soluble can settle in our fat cells, impact our hormones. So I'm a really big fan of supporting organic when you can, when it's budgets available to you. Also consider the Dirty Dozen. So that is the 12 fruits and vegetables that have the highest level of pesticides, and always buy those organic. And then the Clean 15, and your listeners, I'm sure they already know what this is, but you can just Google Clean 15, Dirty Dozen. Clean 15 are the fruits and vegetables that have the lowest level of pesticide residues. So buying those non-organic is fine. Like, for example, avocados. I often just buy non-organic avocados. because they're cheaper. And I know that I'm, you know, peeling off the skin and I just feel, you know, more confident. But when I see avocados organic, when they're available at my health food store and the price is kind of on par, then I buy organic as well.
Mm-hmm. Really good tips. Yeah. And so we want to reduce that pesticide exposure. And then the organic foods, a lot of times, or studies, I guess, have shown there's a higher nutritional value. But yeah, it's hard to buy all organic. So that's a really great tip to avoid the dirty dozen and then buy the clean 15 that don't have that many residues on. And I don't think a lot of people are aware, you know, they think, okay, I'll buy non-organic and I'll just wash it with water. I'll just give it a good scrub and the pesticides will come off, but that isn't so, right? Like, how do you like to remove the pesticides as much as possible? Obviously, some gets into the produce, but what's a good way to remove the pesticides?
Well, I mean, the other thing is, I'll definitely touch on that, but also think like apples, like how many times are they sprayed from bud to harvest? So it's not like it's just on the outside of the apple. It's been sprayed when it was just a flower. I heard years ago a stat that, you know, in a typical season, an apple might be sprayed 17 times with pesticides from bud to harvest, which is like just nuts. So I personally, with things like apples, I never buy apples non-organic. Like that's just something, never. And same thing with berries, because like if you look at a berry, like you look at a strawberry or a blackberry and those seeds, like there's a lot of little nooks and crannies that, and same thing with kale, where pesticides can get in and you just can't wash them off. Now, there is one caveat to that. I would say greenhouse grown Ontario strawberries that are non-organic are less sprayed. They have lower spray. So, you know, I wouldn't just go and buy conventional strawberries, but know that greenhouse grown, if not organic, it still has less spray. But you can make like a little apple cider vinegar wash if you want, but you're not going to get everything off. So not to stress people out, you can still do that apple cider vinegar wash, but I'm telling you, I don't do that. I don't make an apple cider vinegar wash. I owe this a question I get all the time, like what veggie wash do I use? I really don't do anything special just because honestly, for sake of time. So that's why I'm just like picky about the food I eat. And remember, like even, you know, sort of more discount grocery stores like No Frills, they have like a huge organic section. So I think it's, you know, becoming more affordable to the masses and grow your own food. I feel like in COVID-19, so many people are jumping on that bandwagon. That's the best way to have organic food. Provided you're not, you know, spraying it with Miracle-Gro or using some toxic soil, but growing your own food, that's like the best way to get the most nutrient-dense food humanly possible, because then you harvest it and you eat it right away. It has the most vitamin C, you know, it's going to have. So I'm a big fan of growing your own food.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I actually bought one of those veg trucks and I was all gung-ho. I get these ideas in my mind that I'm going to do these big projects. And I was like, oh, I'm going to start to grow food. And I planted the seeds, but then it was when I was pregnant and I got nauseous for, you know, the first 18 weeks and I gave up. So it was like an overgrowth. And since then I've just had a block around it. You know, I'd love to be that person who loves gardening, but I'm just not. So we try to buy organic as much as possible. And, you know, it doesn't always happen. And especially now, you know, we've been ordering from different places, including, you know, local health food stores and butchers, but sometimes we'll get it from the grocery store and we got non-organic kale and oh my gosh, it tasted so soapy and disgusting. And you almost taste like your fruits and vegetables that when you get them not organic, because we normally do, there's just not that much flavor. So we had to like soak it in vinegar and water. And like, we're like, we'll make sure, you know, they can't replace it with non-organic if they don't have organic. So I can taste the difference now for sure. But
100%. Yeah. And that's a great point you bring up, because fruits and vegetables that are highly sprayed with pesticides have less phytonutrients. And phytonutrients, as we know, are what give foods flavor, color, texture. So if foods are being so highly sprayed and there's, you know, less phytonutrients, so less flavor components of the food, it makes sense why your food is less flavorful. And a lot of phytonutrients have a bitter taste. So, and bitter is so important also like for liver detox, for the health of our digestive system. So a lot of the bitter qualities are removed in conventionally farmed foods. So yes, like a carrot, you just like, it has so much An organic carrot has so much more flavor. Same thing with kale. You're absolutely right. And even like the texture, like I find, I don't know if you notice this, but with kale, like kale has a very, its texture is very coarse. It's very much like I relate it to like tree bark, if you don't massage it. But like non-organic kale is so thin. It's like paper thin. It's like it's such a big difference. I think that it must have a lot to do with the plant's immune system, right? It has a healthier immune system. It has to ward off pests on its own, as opposed to just relying on being sprayed with chemicals. And it's just not as nutrient dense. And we are only as healthy as the food we eat. But if we take it one step further, we are only as healthy as the soil that our plants are grown in. And that's a problem with conventional farming, is they're not nourishing the soil. The microbiome of the soil is totally different than on an organic farm. There's just so many things to consider and so many reasons to shop organic. I could talk about this for the next half.
I think it's so important too. And you've covered some great reasons why, right? Not only flavor, but for our health. And then I always think about the workers who are being, you know, possibly sprayed with pesticides. So choose organic for so many reasons. And I know you've talked about this before too, is just voting with your dollar, right? The more that we demand it, the more it's going to be available, the cheaper it's going to be. So, you know, make those healthy choices. So I think, we did a great job of covering what to avoid in terms of, you know, body care products, in terms of additives and food additives and pesticides. So Joy, what are some things we can add into our body to support detox?
Oh yeah, there's so much deliciousness. I would say first and foremost, making sure that you are eating lots of plants. Now, this doesn't mean you have to become vegan or vegetarian, but I do recommend a predominantly plant-based diet where, you know, the plants on your plate are the main, and if you choose to eat meat and you're having a piece of grass-fed steak or you're having some fish, you know, really fill that plate up with lots of color, because that's the one thing that Canadians really struggle with, is Canadians are eating very little variety. Same thing with children. 40% of children's fruit and vegetable intake comes from juice and white potatoes, so seriously lacking in variety. I think there's just like three main foods that adults eat. It's like oranges, tomatoes, and white potatoes, I believe.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So even if you're listening to this and you're like, Joy, but I eat vegetables. Well, are you eating the same things all the time? So a simple guideline to follow is fill half of your plate with plant foods. Eat more plants, eat more color. Color is a cue for health, because when you eat more colorful foods, as I already mentioned, phytonutrients are what give foods their color, their taste, and their texture. So when you eat more colorful foods, you get more phytonutrients. Phytonutrients help you better detox. They help your digestion. Like, there's so many different benefits. I totally forget what the original question was.
Oh yeah, that's okay. Yeah, you're doing a great job. It was what to add in to support detox. No, it's great. Yeah. Like, plants, I think, are really key, foundational. Plants. Yeah.
But if you want to get more specific, kale. Cruciferous vegetables are we're talking broccoli, cauliflower, mustard greens, like arugula, kale, cabbage. All of these foods have been highly, highly researched, for their hormonally balancing benefits, their cancer preventative benefits. They contain phytonutrients that help your liver better detoxify. And if you have trouble digesting these foods and you get gassy, you know, cook them instead, like roast some cauliflower, and, you know, make a little nice tahini sauce for it. So lots of cruciferous vegetables I'm a big fan of. Beets are an amazing liver-loving detox superfood, and they help to thin the bile, and bile along with fiber is a really important carrier of toxins. And beets, we know, are like so blood-building and just like such a nourishing, grounding food. And then all the, like, the winter squash family and foods like sweet potatoes, all these foods are like very grounding, rich in minerals. What else? Beets, what I talk about. So beets, yeah,
cruciferous
kale.
Is great. Kale. Yeah, I think you're a big proponent of lemon water, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Lemons are a natural. So of course they're rich in vitamin C, and our liver utilizes vitamin C to detox effectively. Lemon stimulates bile, which I just talked about. And it also, it just, what a lot of people find sort of anecdotally is that it just helps you have bowel movements. It kind of stimulates your digestive fire, helps you have a poop. If you're someone who is sensitive to lemon or citrus, or you're worried about your teeth, you know, you could also use, I really like apple cider vinegar. So raw, unpasteurized, you know, a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar and a little bit of water before a meal can really help prepare the digestive system for food. And anytime my tummy is bothering me, I do that. Like, say after a meal, there's something that I ate and it's just bothering me a bit. All I will do, you know, a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar and a bit of water, and that always makes my tummy feel better. Always calms it right down.
Yes, such a great tip. Yeah, I love vinegar. I love apple cider vinegar. I know some people are like, oh, gross. So like you said, yeah, lemon might be better, but
my husband such is a not great a support. Fan. Although I always, my favorite salad dressing, like we have a big, huge salad every single night without fail for dinner. We change it up all the time, but the funny thing is Walker is my husband's name. He hates, like if I've taken a swig of apple cider vinegar, he's like, stay away. He can like from like 2 meters away. Yet my salad dressing is always like apple cider vinegar, olive oil, and sometimes a bit of honey, just whisk it together. And it's the most delicious thing. And he always eats that. And he makes the same salad dressing, but yet he will not, which is, you know, apple cider vinegar is a great fermented food. And I think fermented foods are amazing for digestive health, which supports detoxification because of our microbiome. Our microbes that live in our gut and our large intestine are so important for detoxification. So eating fermented foods help to support that gut microbiome because you're actually eating live bacteria. So things like kimchi and sauerkraut and kefir. And if, you know, for your listeners, for those of you who are sensitive to yogurt, to dairy, of course you can now get, you can get coconut yogurt, you can get almond yogurt, cashew yogurt. Like there's so many, you know, fermented non-dairy yogurts you can get nowadays. And they're so great for helping detoxification and just helping overall gut health. And another one that I just want to mention one more that I really love that I feel like a lot of people don't think about is fennel. Mm. And I'm a really big fan of fennel. I know some cultures like eat fennel like celery. Like my husband, he before he was in sort of the health industry, he used to work for a car company selling cars. And the majority of the people he worked with were all Italian. And they all had like amazing huge gardens because he worked at a dealership that was out of the city. And he said they would just like chomp on fennel all the time.
Wow.
Like, and they were like, oh, this is what I grew up eating. I'm not Italian, but this is what he always used to tell me. So anyone listening to this, if you're Italian and you relate chomping on your fennel, but it's just so rich in antioxidants and it's so anti-inflammatory. It's rich in vitamin C. It's just I just love the flavor of it from a culinary perspective. It pairs like, it's really nice in salads, like combining it with citrus. I have a really nice citrus fennel salad actually in my second cookbook, Joyous Detox. I don't know if you've ever tried that one, but it's so good.
Ooh, I'll have to give it a try. And yeah, I don't really have fennel. That sounds great, even just to snack on or put it in a salad. So I love that idea. What did you put in your salad last night? Just out of curiosity, I'm sure listeners want to know what you eat.
Totally. Yes, I really I like mixing a bit of a bitter flavor with less bitter. So I did a mix of romaine, radicchio, arugula. And then I do like carrot ribbons. So just like with a veggie peeler, I did some chopped dates. And then I did my apple cider vinegar honey dressing because it's nice with the bitter qualities of the arugula. And I find like with my daughter, Vienna, she doesn't like stuff that's like really green. She's not into, but if I mix in romaine lettuce, then she's all about the salad. But if there's no romaine in there, if it's just arugula, forget it. So I've learned like how to get her to eat salads.
Amazing. Stuart's not there yet. So maybe I'll try that tip. I've heard of people getting their kids involved in making the dressing too, if there's like sweet in it and maybe they're more into eating it. So
that's why I do dates. Like,
oh, great.
Like chopped up medjool dates. That's what I always like to have something. First of all, I like different texture and I put some nuts or seeds. I forgot that too. Last night I did pumpkin seeds. When making a salad, like it's in order for it to be satisfying, you have to make sure you have different textures. You want to have crunchy and soft, and then you want to make sure you have different tastes. No matter whether it's a salad or whatever you're eating, you know, getting the bitter quality and the sweet quality and a little bit of sea salt on there. It's just so much more satisfying when you're getting all of these textures and these flavors in there. You'll feel like a salad could actually be a whole entire meal.
Amazing. That sounds delicious. Some great tips. And then, you know, some listeners might be like, well, it takes forever to make a salad or chop veggies. Like, I'm sure it didn't take, like, how long did it take you to make it?
And then 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Yeah, great. And what's like a few.
You know what? It's all about keeping it stocked. Keeping the right ingredients stocked.
Fantastic. Like pre-washed, pre-chopped, kind of throw it all in together. And then like, could you share a couple tips on how to just eat more vegetables like quickly or kind of fit them in? Yeah,
totally. So I would suggest have like a snack shelf in your fridge where you have cut up carrots, cut up celery, have your sweet peppers washed, but don't pre-chop them because they get like soggy too quick. But then like soups, I still eat soup in the summer. Maybe I'm kind of weird. I just really love soup as like a nice lunch, like if it's really hearty. So like putting tons of veggies in a soup is a great way. Smoothies are super easy too. Whenever I make a pasta sauce, this might sound weird, but I really like broccoli in pasta sauce.
Yeah, I do the same for Stewie.
Yeah. Kids, like if you introduce it to them young. And then even like when we make pizza, we love pizza in our household. So I put broccoli on pizza, and it's really good because it gets nice and like roasted and crispy. So like, I always think of like making kid friendly foods just healthier. Like we have things like I make chicken fingers, but the topping or the crust I make for them is like a combination of pumpkin seeds, garlic powder, cashews, and it's like got like a really good crisp to it. And then you bake it. So
I think delicious.
Yeah. I mean, you just like, I think with kids, it's just about, you know, doing some swaps kind of here and there, and they won't even notice. But probably my favorite is probably doing smoothies for kids. Mm-hmm. I just think like a smoothie as a snack or as part of breakfast, it just makes, I have like this reassurance in my heart when my daughter's like slurping back a smoothie and I'm like, oh God, I feel like this is the only good thing she's eaten today.
Well, that's a win. It's something, right?
Yeah,
and
what's
like the favorite smoothie in the house right now? What are you putting in it?
Yeah, so definitely wild blueberries and then always something green. So either kale or spinach. Usually like at least a quarter of a cucumber, some banana, some coconut milk. Sometimes I put, if I have a lot of veggies in there, then I definitely, and I don't have any bananas, then I definitely put dates or honey in it just to give it like a little bit of a sweet taste. Sometimes I put in protein powder. I like putting hemp hearts in, some almond butter. I basically like my smoothies are like everything but the kitchen sink. I kind of just like throw in a bunch of superfoods, give it a taste test. Oh yeah, that tastes good.
Perfect.
And
that sounds great. Yeah, I never thought of cucumber either. So
yes. Yeah,
we do like the greens. You know, I've done where it's like steamed cauliflower, like a cauliflower chocolate
shake.
Oh yeah, that's
but yeah, awesome.
Cucumber. These are some great tips. Thanks so much.
No problem.
And then one other category, I guess, that I could ask you about in terms of detox. So what about different herbs or spices to add to our foods to help with detox? What's good to do?
There's so many. I mean, I'd say the main thing is like to remember for your listeners is that herbs and spices have the highest level of antioxidants of all foods. So if you look up something called the ORAC scale, ORAC, and you see the list of the, you know, antioxidant level of foods, spices and herbs are always at the top. So I really like cilantro. Cilantro is amazing for helping you better detox heavy metals. So, you know, just chopping up, I actually love putting fresh herbs in salads. That's something else I do. Like I love putting mint. I have a little mint plant on my balcony and mint has lots of wonderful phytonutrients. What gives it that really nice smell is actually really good for, digestion, really like, soothing. So, you know, just chopping up some mint and putting that into your salad or, you know, for kids, I make like a little mint tea for my daughter, Vienna, or putting some mint into some water is really nice. So any of those like green herbs, turmeric is amazing. Oh, that's like the king of detoxification or the queen of detoxification in terms of food. Turmeric is amazing. I believe it's one of the most studied foods in like modern science, in terms of the phytonutrient qualities it has, like, as I'm sure you know, Lisa, very high in curcumin, which is very, very anti-inflammatory. But you know, if turmeric isn't something that your listeners are used to using, I really like making a turmeric latte. I can share that link for that recipe with you, and anyone can make it. It's so delicious. You can make an iced latte in the summer. It's like turmeric, ginger, cinnamon, coconut butter or coconut milk, and some honey. It is so delicious and such an easy way to get more turmeric into your diet. Ginger, very anti-inflammatory, garlic. These are all amazing foods to add to your diet and very affordable.
Great tips. I definitely want to try that turmeric latte. That's great with the cinnamon in there, and the coconut butter gives it some nice sweetness too. I love that. So I think people have a good idea of where to start, right? So basically focus on adding in plants, if you can, organic wherever possible. You talked about the cruciferous, especially for hormone detox, including kale, beets, lemons, all the herbs too, like cilantro, parsley, etc. So I think we have some good tips on how to start to detox every day. So these are things you can do on a regular basis, because a lot of times people do those detoxes, which I think is great, right? Because sometimes you need a reset if sugar's creeping up or you're drinking more alcohol. So that's happening a lot right now with everybody staying at home, and people are really getting, you know, full of all these substances. But then sometimes people will do that detox or cleanse, but then they retox to the like ninth degree, right? Where they're just like drinking and eating the same way. But it sounds like your philosophy is, you know, do these things on a regular basis, avoid the chemicals, and then your body's just going to be detoxifying as it does every day, but more efficiently and effectively.
Exactly.
I love that. Well, thanks for sharing that. We'll definitely share in the show notes some of the links to what we talked about. But now we'll move to the second part of the podcast. So we're going to talk about our super mom moment, mom mess up, and mom must have. So I can go first if you can't think of all of these. Don't worry, but it could be something small, something large that happened recently or in the past. But I did have a bit of a super mom moment because, well, as most of us are now at home with kids and trying to juggle work and, you know, home life and all of that, I did make a point yesterday to actually go out for about 2 hours on my own. The weather was so nice. So I went for a nice walk. I actually brought a nice tea with me from home, and I sat in the park and I read some of the paper. I actually listened to some of your podcasts, Joy, because I really enjoy them.
Thank you. Then
I did talk to my mom too. So I had a little like nice break, some time for myself. I know it's pretty hard to do these days. Pete, my husband, and I are trying to, you know, take a few hours on the weekend for ourselves and just get out of the routine. So that's my super mom moment. So I hope you guys can find some time and space for yourself as well, even if it's hiding out in the bathroom. I know sometimes that's the only place. And Joy, do you have a super mom moment? Anything related to?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think of so many different things. Just one thing really quickly. I read a really good book just over the weekend. And so my time to read is once Vienna has gone to bed and my husband is into some Netflix show. If I'm not into it, I just read a great book called Proof of Heaven, written by this neurologist about his near-death experience. And I love reading. When I read before bed, I sleep so much better. And it's just so like comfy and cozy. I like I drink fennel tea. I love tea at night after I've had dinner, and just curl up on the couch. And so that was a nice moment for me this weekend, because sometimes I feel like if it's just like watch a Netflix show and go to bed, it's like you haven't really had that space for yourself.
That's true. Yeah. Sometimes the shows are too stimulating, but it sounds like you're really into reading, and that's a great way to decompress and go to bed. So that's a super mom moment, finding time to do something you love.
Yes.
And I guess now we have to admit to some mama mess up, so I can go first. Stuart's been, he probably doesn't need a nap anymore, but we still put him down. So maybe he'll sleep an hour, sometimes two, depending on how much we tire him out. But at night before bed, I guess I've been getting him fired up a little bit. Like after dinner, we might play hide and seek. And, you know, he kind of screams when somebody finds him or finds Pete and I, or, you know, I'll tickle his feet. So then last night he was was up until about 9, just in his room, kind of singing and talking. He wasn't, you know, upset, but I think we need to tone down the bedtime routine because, first of all, I don't think he really needs his nap, so he's not tired, but then we're not kind of setting the tone for sleep and relaxation. So that's something I got to work on. So that's my mama mess up.
But mom, playing hide and seek is so much fun.
I know, and I guess it shouldn't be right before bed.
Yeah. I have a similar right before bed moment. So yesterday, Vienna and I made blueberry fudgesicles. And so as I was making it, I was thinking to myself, okay, once this is like totally frozen, it's going to be like 6 o'clock and she's going to want to try this. So I did raw cacao powder, wild blueberries, a can of coconut milk, and a bit of maple syrup. That's it. So then, of course, after dinner, she's like, can I have my fudgesicle? I'm like, oh, crap. She's going to totally eat this and be like wired from the raw cacao powder. So I'm like, oh, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be that mom. Fine. Just, okay, sure. Have it. And I'm like, normally she doesn't like finish the whole, like she, like with dessert, she doesn't like eat a lot. She's not a big eater. So I just thought she'll have like 10 licks and then be done. Anyway, she ate the whole thing and was very stimulated and similar to your son. She did not go to bed till like 9. She was like wild. Like, oh boy. But it was kind of amusing. Aww.
Well, at least it was from healthy sources. She's getting a lot of antioxidants, not enough, I guess, magnesium to counteract the caffeine, but
yeah, that's what I, you know what? That would have been smart if I like, maybe that would have helped if I gave her some magnesium.
Oh, but she enjoyed it. So
yeah, it was delicious.
Oh, you're still doing a great job. You're getting her to eat healthy food. And then Joy, do you have a mama must have? Something you know, can't live without that's helping you during this time, something food related?
Yeah, no, mine is just meditation. I can't go, well, I mean, I can, but I was going to say, I don't like going a day without having just a 10 minutes of meditation. It's either first thing when I wake up in the morning in bed or just before I go to bed. And that really helps me to stay sane and to like manage anxiety and just I feel like just create more space in my mind.
I love that. Do you use an app or do you just do like a breathing meditation or do you mix it up?
Yeah, I mix it up. So I use the Calm app. I also really like Deepak Chopra's Breathe podcast. So he has like a daily podcast and they're really short. They're like sometimes 6 minutes, 8 minutes. And then sometimes I just go on YouTube and I just find a meditation that I really like. But I say the most consistent one is using the Calm app, which I have on my phone.
Great recommendation. Thanks for sharing.
No,
and I guess my mama must have. So I'll pick, I guess, yeah, I've been, you know, things have been really hectic and I'm still trying to eat healthy. So I am adding a lot of like ginger and turmeric powder to different foods. Like even just today, I just put ginger powder in hot water and squeezed some lemon in. So that was my version of a quick ginger tea. I might add the turmeric powder to, you know, pre-made baba ganoush or if I've made a hummus or something. So I just love all the, I think it's called the Simple brand, right? They have a lot of those dried herbs. And then yeah, I guess I'd have to pick apple cider vinegar too. I usually have a teaspoon or, you know, in a little bit of water or sometimes straight right before I eat. And I just feel like it really supports my digestion and supports detox too.
Yes, so good.
Yeah. Well, Joy, is there another way? So I shared your at Joyous Health tag for Instagram and social media. Is there anything else that you wanted people to check out or look out for?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, check out my website, which is joyoushealth.com, because every week we upload a new video, a new recipe. So we, even through like COVID-19, Walker, my husband, does all the photography and all the videography for Joyous Health. So we've continued doing what we always do, and we're always creating new content and sharing new recipes and new ideas for everyone to live a happy, healthy, joyous life.
I love that. So definitely check out Joy's website and then get the Joyous Detox Cookbook. And we'll link to her shop as well if you wanted to start switching over to some healthier body care products. So thanks everyone for joining us today. Everybody stay safe and healthy and we'll talk to you next week. Take care. Thanks, Joy.
Thank you.